The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and PNC.
Welcome inside the PNC studio at Hallis Hall for this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I'm Chris Bowden, pinch hitting for Zach Zabin, who has DePaul basketball coming your way a little bit later on this hour at 6:50. So an abbreviated version alongside 85 Bear, Tom Thayer. Pleased to be joined by first-year Bears tight end, Dan Brown. Dan, thanks for doing this. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Well, your first touchdown catch, our first catch as a Bear, ended up a touchdown. You had everybody probably in the stands looking at their roster. Mm-hmm. All right, who's number 85 in there? But that came against Tennessee. 10 catches since then as they incorporate you a little further into the offense. How would you evaluate, you know, how you've kind of morphed into this offense, unfortunately due to, you know, part of that door opened by the injury to Zach Miller?
Right. I know I kind of just take it week by week, and I think that when I review film, there's things I've done better each week. Obviously, you know, with my background as playing receiver last year and converting to tight end this year, the passing game comes pretty naturally to me. Mm-hmm. So I take a lot of, you know, I work hard at trying to become better at the run games. You know, I'm not just one-dimensional tight end. You know, I want to be mm-hmm. a versatile tight end, and then I know that the coaches here, you know, want to see a tight end that can run, you know, run block and pass block and catch.
You know, when Chris introduced you, he introduced you as Dan Brown.
Right.
But because of the roster and we don't know you that well, we see you as Daniel Brown. What are you? Are you Dan or Daniel?
Dan. I go with Dan.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correction made here.
Well, no, just because I was saying, you know, we don't know Daniel Brown from meeting him at training camp and watching him every day over a 5-week period and then all that whole process. You come in and you're thrust onto the scene.
Right.
And even when you're thrust on the scene, like you said, wow, people are looking at, who is this guy? That's an unbelievable catch you made against Tennessee. Right. It's probably the most difficult catch for a guy of your height and everything made. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, I think is so difficult is when a guy comes in and he shows such good hands at the tight end position. As a wide receiver, were your hands always your asset, or were you a big blocking wide receiver?
I mean, coming from, you know, the school I came from, it was like a read option. We did run a lot. So I did pride myself on being a big, you know, big receiver that could block out on the edge. And then I knew that my biggest asset had to be my hands because, you know, passes were going to be, you know, far and few. So I wanted to make the ones, you know, that came to me count. So I always kind of prided myself on not really dropping anything.
When did you make that weight change from when did you eat yourself into a tight end? Because back in the 85 Bears, Emory Moorhead was a college wide receiver that ate himself into a really good tight end in the NFL. When did you make that transition?
This offseason, I was with Baltimore last year, you know, played receiver in college, played receiver last year. And then it wasn't just Baltimore. You know, I had talked to other teams too, and they saw I would have a better career as a tight end. So when Baltimore tendered my rights, they kind of just said, you know, we're only going to sign you as a tight end. You know, you're not going to come back as a receiver. You're going to have to go somewhere else. So I was kind of forced into it, but we kind of saw the writing on the wall. So probably the months of, you know, February, they told me in February to come back in April at 245, and when they told me that, I was 222. So the, you know, a couple of months was, you know, kind of eat everything in sight.
That ain't just fast food either, right?
No, it had to be good. You know, I got on a strict diet. I went down to Florida and trained, and I had like a nutritionist. You know, they prepared meals for me, and it was, you know, a ton of protein. It was just, you know, eat. You know, I felt gross at first because I just couldn't eat anymore. But
the heavier you get, did you get stronger in the weight room? That kind of goes hand in hand.
Yeah, I felt like it. And the goal wasn't just to put on weight, just to be, you know, heavy.
Right.
You know, I wanted to be good weight. I didn't want to lose any quickness or any speed because I knew that would be my biggest advantage. You know, moving the tight end would be have matchups with linebackers or safeties. You know, being able, you know, to still outrun them. So I didn't want to lose any kind of quickness, but I knew that I had to get stronger. you know, to put my hand in the dirt, you know, and block, you know, defensive ends and you know, outside linebackers.
Did the morph of Zach Miller from quarterback to tight end give you any confidence that you – but, you know, you're a receiver going to a receiver. Right. But, you know, what Zach Miller's been able to do from that position transition, did that help you confidence-wise?
Yeah, and, you know, coming here and watching Zach do what he did, I know it was I didn't know much about Zach, and I know he's had, you know, a great year. But I know, you know, the first 4 weeks I was here and I wasn't playing, I was watching him, and you know, you can learn a lot from Zach, right, because I think it kind of goes unnoticed that he does, you know, pretty well in the run game too. You know, he's not a guy who just gets pushed around. You know, in the pass protection, he does pretty well, and I don't think he gets enough credit for like how athletic he is. So and I can still learn from him. You know, he helps me out. You know, he's still around the building. He can help me, you know, anytime he wants.
We're going to take our first break here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We're here with Bears tight end Dan Brown as we roll on here. And when we come back, we get a little bit deeper in your backstory, growing up in Virginia, winding up at James Madison, eventually your role to Baltimore, and how you got here as a member of the Bears, a very productive member of the first three games. As we said, 11 catches for 79 yards and that touchdown. That and more when we continue on Bears All Access on The Score. Tune into the Bears Coaches Radio Show Monday night at 6:30 on WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, part of the Chicago Bears network of shows, which includes Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber, which is what you're listening to now here on 670 The Score. From the PNC studio at House Hall, Chris Bowden filling in for Zach Zabin tonight alongside Tom Thayer with Bears tight end Dan Brown. So you probably heard about the forecast for this weekend.
Yeah.
What's the coldest you ever think you've played in?
The coldest game I've ever played in, my senior year, probably 19 degrees.
Senior year of high school?
College. 19, okay. 19 degrees, maybe.
19?
Yeah.
So have you been...
I've never felt negative before. Never. I don't know what that feels like.
So are they urging you to go just shirt sleeves on Sunday? It's Green Bay.
That's been the conversation in our tight ends room is do we want to be macho men and go sleeveless, or do we want to be smart about it, you know, and wear sleeves? So I guess we'll just have to see.
Yeah, it snowed 2 weeks ago, which was fine, you know.
Yeah.
Temperature-wise, was fine. Then you're indoors last week, and then you get a dose of Tom Thayer weather.
Well, you know, I don't even like it. I think you got to dress to make sure that you're mentally in the strongest position possible, because they need Dan Brown to be a level-headed thinking. But aren't you guys going to go outside tomorrow? I thought I saw in John Fox's press conference today that you're going to go outside for a portion of practice tomorrow. Just to kind of, you're not going to get acclimated. You're just going to be able to feel it,
right,
and it kind of gives you a better. You know, the worst thing you want to do is put on too much clothes,
right,
and go out there and start running around like the kid in Christmas Story. If you fall down, you can't get yourself back up. So it'll be a decision that you're going to have to make, and they put the proper gear inside your locker to do that.
Yeah, I talked to Tony about it, and I was like, you know, I've never played in a game this cold. And he was like, well, we'll give you what you think you need. He was like, don't try to be, you know, a tough guy. If you think you need to wear sleeves, you know, wear sleeves, because you know, it is like mental.
Right.
He says, you know, wear what's in your locker and you'll be okay. So I guess
what's the peer pressure like there?
Well, I mean, peer pressure for us as offensive and defensive linemen, it was kind of instilled in us by Steve McMichael and Hampton and stuff, that look, we're all going sleeveless. No matter, you know, we're offensive line, you get sweaty, they start grabbing your sleeves. And I would rather be cold than give up a sack because someone grabbed my sleeve. But I did play with the tight end here, Tim Reitman from California, who once came out with a down coat on underneath his pads. And everybody looked at him going, what are you doing? Are you kidding me?
Put on some weight there, Tim.
Well, they did shame him out of eventually taking it off. But he said, look, I need to be warm.
Right.
And that was his way of going about it.
I think tomorrow will be big for me. I'll find out, you know. Because I think tomorrow is about as close as we're going to get to what it is going to be on Sunday.
Well,
so
the worst thing about it is the 3-minute timeouts.
Yeah.
When you take
challenge
the field
flags.
Again.
No, don't challenge that.
But when you take the field again and you go from nearby the heaters or the heated bench, and then you go out there and stand for 3 minutes and the cold kind of sinks in.
Right.
You know.
Because most of the time, you know, if the defense is on the field, I'm on I have a jacket or I'm on the heated bench. And then, you know, as soon as the offense goes out there, I take off my jacket, whether I'm out in the game or not, because I don't want to have to be struggling to take off a jacket if I'm running out in the field. So yeah, the TV timeouts can get a little chilly.
Well, you'll be the first guy I run to interview in the locker room tomorrow after practice. See how that went for you out there tomorrow, since you're getting tested on it. Howard, tell us a little story about how you became a Bear. It was 6 weeks ago. You were inactive the first 3 weeks. Did I also read that maybe there were rumblings where they were coming after you a little bit earlier, and then the Ravens put you on the active roster?
Yeah. So, you know, I've been with Baltimore since last year, and I spent all preseason with them. Then they, I didn't make the final cut, and then my agent said that, you know, Chicago was really interested in making a choice, you know, practice squad. I knew that Baltimore wanted me back as practice squad. And at the time, it was kind of the tight end situation there. We had a couple injuries. There was a chance that I could have I could have played that week. So they kind of convinced me to stay. It didn't turn out. You know, we had two guys suspended at the time, too. It didn't play out, so 4 weeks go by. I get a call from my agent says Chicago is going to take you off the practice squad, you know, and put you on their roster. And from what I hear, you don't have to, but it's the common courtesy thing is to call the GM and tell them, you know, we're going to get this guy off your practice squad. So, I guess Harbaugh caught wind of it, called me and said, you know, Chicago wants to take you. He said, we're not going to let them. We're going to activate you. He's like, you're going to stay if we activate you. Well, obviously if you're going to activate me, I'll stay. Mm-hmm. Knowing that if they let me go, I wasn't going to be coming back. We felt that we were going to get claimed, you know, by Chicago. So they had me up for 2 weeks. They cut me Friday before they left for the game on Saturday, and then got a call Monday saying that I had been claimed.
So they have a transition of coordinators in Baltimore, and now you're in this offense. Which one of the three offenses fits Dan Brown the best?
I mean, obviously I would say this one because this is the one I've been most involved in. You know, I was at Baltimore, and I wasn't getting a whole lot of – we were so deep at tight end, and we had seven tight ends on the roster, and all of them pretty well-known tight ends. I didn't get any time offensively. He kept me around because I was in good with the special teams coach, and he liked what I could do. And he told me I could help on special teams. So obviously, I would say this offense because this is the only offense I've really gotten the time to actually play in.
Time for another break here on Bears All Access. We're with Bears tight end Dan Brown here. We will continue talk a little bit more about his days growing up in Virginia and heading over to James Madison, which has itself for the alma mater a pretty big game coming up this weekend. There might be a little friendly wager going on with a member of the Bears staff as well. That when we continue on Bears All Access on The Score, Sports Radio 670. Don't miss your chance to win Bears prizes every day until December 24th. Follow on Twitter at Shy Bears Promos to learn more. Back on Bears All Access. Brought to you by Uber, 85 Bear Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden, pinch hitting for Zach Zabin with Bears tight end Dan Brown. So you grew up in Virginia, a fan of?
The Buccaneers.
Oh, of course, the Buccaneers. How did that happen?
It happened before they got good, or where they were good for that 1 year. So it wasn't like I jumped on the bandwagon when they won the Super Bowl in 2002 because they were terrible. Was ever since I was a little kid. I think I went through like a pirate phase as a little kid. the Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, all those movies. And then I saw their flag. I liked their emblem. And then I found out they had a pirate ship in their stadium. So I just kind of chose them just based off, you know, kind of being in a pirate phase.
Had you been down there before this year?
I hadn't. My first time.
All right.
Did you get anybody's autograph?
No.
Like, did you go seek out Mike Allstott or something?
I felt like it wasn't my place.
Mike Allstott, close to Tommy's heart.
Hey, Joliet, Illinois.
Joliet Catholic guy.
It's from my high school and stuff. That's the only reason I picked that name out of the air.
I remember Mike Allstott. He's a tank.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
So you, and in high school, you played three sports, right?
Yep.
Football, basketball, baseball. Yep. Was football your best, or did that you enjoyed most?
I probably enjoyed basketball the most.
Yeah. Still slam, I'll bet. 6'5", right?
Yeah, I can.
Elevate?
I can still shoot a little bit, too.
Right?
But I guess I felt like I saw, like, but I have more of a chance at football, even though I really wouldn't have never known it anyway because I wasn't heavily recruited or anything. I just felt like I had more of a chance to play college football than college basketball.
And what, first baseman or pitcher in baseball?
Everybody thinks I'm a pitcher, but I couldn't pitch. So I played first base.
Could you have played any of the three sports at James Madison?
Maybe not. I played baseball, you know, just growing up because I think my dad said it kept me busy. You know, and then in high school I played it just because it was fun. But I never really took it that serious. I was decent at it. I think I could have played basketball at James Madison just based on, because we would play like the varsity team like at the rec center, you know, in the off season. I felt like, you know, those guys weren't doing anything I couldn't do.
So as a football player, athlete, you would go to the basketball team and practice against them during the season?
Well, we had like the rec center.
Right.
And like in their off season, you know, the football player.
Okay.
Most football players think they can play basketball, but they really can't.
Right.
So we would always, the basketball players would always be there. And we'd play a little competitive game.
You'd show them up, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I never felt like I was, you know, outmatched by any of them.
Nice.
Right, that's great confidence because, I mean, all those three sports make you a better athlete right. ultimately in football. It's just like, you know, the reason, I don't think the reason is, but you catch so well, it's you get more repetitions catching the ball as a wide receiver right. growing up than you would a tight end.
Yeah.
So, you know, one other thing about it is last week in the game, I saw you getting involved a little bit more in the interior of the defense. A lot of stuff right. Zach was doing out of the yeah. H-back position, mm-hmm. fullback position and stuff. How do you, you know, how long did it take you to get comfortable bringing yourself? Because those are some big guys. As yeah. a wide receiver, you may back off the edge or something like that.
Yeah.
But now you're a guy bringing yourself into the yeah. interior. How is that transition been for you?
It's you know, it's a learning curve. I think I've done better than I anticipated. You know, I don't give myself enough credit. I think, you know, I think I block better than I probably thought I was going to. But, you know, I just felt like the coaches, you know, they kind of eased me into it, you know, Tennessee.
They wouldn't use it if they didn't think you were good
right.
at it.
Right. So, and I felt like they told me that we're going to, you know, put some more weight on your shoulders and we're going to, you know, see how you handle it. And I kind of took it as a challenge, you know, they want to see. You know, this is basically, you know, with the way the season's gone, this is a opportunity to showcase my skills. You know, so I don't want to go out there and look like, you know, I'm a one-dimensional tight end. I can only, you know, catch passes. So I kind of took it as a challenge, you know, to go out there and you know, if they're asking me to do it, they think I can do it. So, you know, it's my time to prove them right.
Three of those six catches you had on Sunday came on that final possession. Take us through kind of the highs and lows of that final play. You guys were moving the ball,
yeah.
and it was looking good
yeah.
for a while. But then, you know, this team's margin for error is so small that yes, any kind of mistake usually ends up jumping up and biting you guys. What was that like on that final yeah. drive, the way it started and then the disappointment with the
yeah.
way it ended?
You know, it's just – there's just those couple mistakes, like you said, that we can't have in the position that we're in. And I've seen it every, you know, I've seen it every week that I've been up. You know, we did it in Tennessee in the fourth quarter. We went up tempo, and we find a lot of success in that. I don't know if we catch defenses off, you know, off guard, or they get tired, you know. But we seem to throw a ball a lot better when we're just in up tempo offense. You know, made that comeback against Tennessee that fell a little bit short. You know, some mistakes we made. we were never really in that situation. We did have a 2-minute against San Fran that we, you know. Things were kind of slow, mm-hmm. and then the end of the half, we did 2-minute. We found some success in that. And then, obviously, this week, you know, we just kind of shot ourselves in the foot a little bit. But and I think there's promise there that we show.
Do you feel a bit of a kinship with Matt because his first start came against Tennessee?
Right.
He's looking to prove himself a little bit, and you two seem to have a pretty good connection yeah. together so far.
And I think that helped, you know, when I first got here. Obviously I wasn't getting any reps with the first team. So I was, you know, getting all the scout team reps, and that's when, you know, Jay was, you know, still healthy. So Matt was doing all the scout team reps. And I think that's a, you know, big opportunity to make a connection, or I made a connection with them, you know, on scout team.
When you're running demonstration squad, do you talk about your craft, about, you know, how he sees you,
yeah.
You know, what type of ball he throws? Mm-hmm. Because you are doing the opponent's demonstration of their offense, but it's got to be a way for you to grow in your skills.
Yeah, well, what we do is we try to find similarities into a play that we have.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a play on a card, you know, me and Matt. You know, we talk about it. We run it like this, you know, because we still sit in the offensive meeting, so we know what we're doing that week. He's like, you know, try to run it this way, and if he doesn't like, you know, what he sees, and I'll come back and talk to him, you know, in between periods, and you know, we'll talk about it.
You can hear that Dan is a very well spoken young man, and when we come back, we'll touch on his major in college and what that tight end room is like with all the brainiacs. In there, yeah. Ewan Broniker from Harvard. That one, Bears All Access, continues here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Need a ride to or from Bears home games? Download the Uber app and get a safe, reliable ride within minutes. Head to uber.com/app and enter code BEARSFAN to get $15 off your first Uber ride. We're continuing here on Bears All Access. Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden for Zach Zabin, joined by Bears tight end Dan Brown. How'd you wind up at James Madison?
It was a long road. So I was a small private school in, you know, southeastern Virginia. You know, the level of competition was terrible. So, I didn't even know I was gonna play college football until after my senior year. Actually, after I finished basketball season, so probably March. You know, we were way behind. We didn't know how the whole process worked, because my coach never helped me. Nobody really helped me at all. So, my dad took like 3 days off of work. We made a highlight film, and we sent it to all the schools in Virginia, basically. And heard back from JMU in Richmond, and then basically said you can walk on. And I didn't really like Richmond. I had a better feel for JMU, so I walked on JMU, and then ended up, you know, doing pretty well after my first year. Got a scholarship. So
that's a school that has Charles Haley. Charles Haley went there.
Right.
Scott Norwood, and one of the Smurfs, Gary Clark, or the Fun Bunch guy.
That's pretty solid players right there, all three of them. Are you surprised at your accomplishments, or did you kind of always deep down know that you're a good enough athlete that if you put your mind to what you needed to do, that you could do it?
Yeah, I knew. I mean, I just always had this feeling that I knew that if I got the shot, I could do it. Basically, my whole family went to Virginia Tech, you know, so I sent a film to Virginia Tech, why not? And they basically said, you know, you can try out in the spring, you know, next year. And I thought to myself, you know, if I go up to school and don't do anything if I don't play football for half a year, you know, I'm not going to want to do it. And I'm going to be in college groove already. So I felt like my best chance was at JMU. But I knew that if I got a shot anywhere, that I wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to disappoint anybody.
Did you ever practice your autograph before you got out of James Madison?
No.
Okay.
It was terrible before.
Because usually when guys have
smiley
a sense.
Smiley face on the dot.
Well, guys that usually have a sense that they're going to make it, they usually say, oh, this is what I'm going to sign my autograph when
mine,
I get it.
Mine looked like the signature you first use when you start learning cursive. It was spelled out every.
As long as it's not the same one that you use in your checks.
I spelled out every letter.
Do we have checks anymore?
And then, you know, like senior year, we would have like Meet the Dukes Day and we're signing autographs. And it got to the point where I was holding up the line because I was spelling out every single letter. And I just started.
Hey, it's nice people can read it.
Yeah, I would.
A
so
D
then,
and then a B.
Right. So then I started going to D, you know, squiggle with the L and then, you know, B. And that's it.
Nice. So your major was computer information systems. Where does this lead to?
Video games.
Hopefully a job, you know, after football. So
what kind?
So it was computer information systems. It was a.
And we're not trying to rush you into that job.
No. I understand. Basically, like databases, you know, infrastructure, you know, system management, stuff like that. we did take some coding classes, which is kind of like computer science, which was terrible. You know, I would never want to sit at a desk and code ever. But they teach us, it's basically, they teach you a little bit of everything because they want us to be managers of teams, you know. So if there ever comes up a problem, there's a coding problem, I have enough background information on, you know, I know what code looks like and I'm not just kind of pulling something out of my butt, you know, to show them that this is what you got. I didn't know, I mean, because I basically, after college, I did my pro day and then I had a tryout with Baltimore. It was the rookie minicamp tryout. So there was no guarantee, you know, if I don't get out of rookie minicamp, you know, basically you're not gonna make it. So I had, you know, resume and I had some people that I knew that I could contact who had some connections with you know, job opportunities. So it would have been I probably would be living in the DC area.
And you know Bronick, what Bronicker majored in?
It's something
something smart,
something pre-med,
cellular and molecular biology.
Yeah, pre-med is what he told me.
Do you take your degree and use the technology that's given to you at the NFL level? You know, now that you have all the tablets and everything, I know it's not according to your major, but are you using that to improve your craft?
Yeah, I mean the stuff that we kind of is kind of like low level stuff, you know, what I learned in college. Right. But you know, sometimes if you know you find yourself getting a little bored, you think about the infrastructure behind, you know, these iPads that we have.
And well, help your offensive lineman out. We always need smart guys.
Time for another break here on Bears All Access. So when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that route to Baltimore, earning a spot there, and some of the personalities on that Ravens roster, too. A couple of them stand out in particular. That one, Bears All Access, continues from the PNC studio at Alice Hall. This Sunday's game is brought to you by Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears. The first 35,000 fans to enter Soldier Field will receive a Bears Dr. Pepper Tube Dana. Dr. Pepper, always one of a kind. Heat up that Dr. Pepper this Sunday at
Love
Soldier Field.
Love the Dr. Pepper.
Tom Thayer, Chris Bowden, and Bears tight end Dan Brown joining us here on Bears All Access for this week. Before we get to your route to Baltimore and the whole combine draft process or non-draft process. What your alma mater, big game this week. I see you tweeting. You're at Daniel_Brown10. Most of your action on Twitter has been rooting for those James Madison Dukes, and they go play the big boys this week in the FCS semifinals, don't they?
They do. I was talking, you know, talking to my guys. I'm so close to them, and I think they're really excited. I think they're, you know, they're ready for the challenge.
North Dakota State in the Fargo Dome. Yep. You said you played there in during their first championship. North Dakota State's won 5 in a row,
right,
in FCS.
So I kind of feel like we, you know, I was part of the process that started it. So
it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to knock those guys off. Is. And there's a certain employee here in this building who is a North Dakota State alma mater who I don't know, his name is Jim or Joe or something like
something
that.
But begins with J.
Yeah, he got in Mariani's face a year ago.
Yeah,
with
we made the same bet. So if I lose, I'll have to put on the T-shirt.
Reel it in. Okay.
How is that dome? Is it a nice place to play?
It is. It's loud.
Well, you know, you come from Detroit this past weekend, kind of an inside factory-looking type indoor stadium. What is that dome all about?
It's small.
Yeah.
You know, it holds like 18,000, but it gets pretty rocking. You know, the fans are pretty. When I played there, it was AstroTurf, so it wasn't a whole lot of fun. But I think they have field turf now. But they, you know, it gets pretty loud in there.
So when you wrapped up over at James Madison and you were, you know, looking to find out whether this football career would continue, were you involved in combine or any all-star games or pro days or anything like that?
I did a pro day for it at my school. My agent tried to squeak me into an all-star game, but I didn't really want to have to just go, you know, just get thrown into an all-star game if they didn't really want me. So I just felt like my best bet was going to be, you know, pro day. So I, you know, trained a couple months for a pro day.
What'd you run?
4.52.
You did? Wow.
Nice.
Impressive. I mean, for your size, because I don't know, we go to a pro day, are you an athlete that you run a time that they go, okay, we can eat this guy into a tight end, or, wow, this guy is surprisingly fast, we could use him at different types of NFL routes.
I think my 40 at the time got me in the door, and I think ultimately I think Baltimore saw what they saw and thought maybe, you know, even like I said, other NFL teams too that I talked to, you know, have you ever thought about playing tight end before? I said, no, I haven't really played tight end before, but I'm not opposed to it. You know, whatever pays the bills and, you know, keeps me playing.
What kind of feedback did you get out of that pro day? I mean, in terms of teams interested.
I think I made my name for myself, and I don't think that, like, again, I don't think we got a new coaching staff my senior year, and I don't think they did the best job of marketing me. So after my pro day, my agent was calling teams, and they're like, you know, we'd never even heard of Dan before. Like, we would come to his practices and nobody even mentioned him. So I kind of had the long road. You know, I kind of had to do things on my own, make a name for myself. And then, you know, went undrafted. And then ended up getting – the only opportunity I had was Baltimore. There was the mini camp tryout and the rookie mini camp. And
you nailed it.
Went up there for 3 days and did well enough that they made a couple roster moves to sign me to their 90-man roster.
When they transitioned you to the tight end position, was that the first time you've ever been in a 3-point stance?
It is, yep.
Because I, you know, people, I think it's hard for them to understand that that part of the job requirement. It's not easy because there's so much of balance, whether you're on the right side or the left side, you're, you know, taking off and all that. So was that something that you kind of just, because you're an athlete, you fell into, or does someone have to say, hey, this is what the feet placement is, this is how the, you know, how much weight to put on your hand and all that?
Yeah, I'd never put my hand in dirt before. And I think my coaches kind of just, let's see what you can do first, and then we'll tweak what we do. I be honest with you, I kind of worked on my stance because my stance at first I thought was awful. I looked at film and I was like, that's terrible looking.
Right.
So, but I think naturally instincts kind of took over. I was, you know, being an athlete, you know, you know, Frank's told me here when I first got here, he's like, you have a great balance. And, I think that's just, part of being an athlete. But yeah, it was definitely something new, putting my hand in the dirt for the first time.
We're going to burn our final time out right now here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. When we come back, we wanted to ask about a couple of those personalities that he dealt with in Baltimore, maybe a couple of them in this locker room here as he is a member of the Bears. That when we return with Bears tight end Dan Brown on Bears All Access on 670 The Score. It's the official pregame show of your Chicago Bears. Bears Game Day Live, brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, every Sunday morning at 10:30 on Fox 32 Chicago. Tom Thayer front and center. Be out on the field. You and Joniak out on the field.
Right.
Before this one Sunday.
Can't wait. You know what? I'm glad they're playing the Green Bay Packers because, you give the conditions. If there wasn't emotions attached to the game, they would probably worry about the conditions more than the outcome of the game.
Yeah.
But I think because of the attachment, the division, Green Bay needing it so badly, I'm one of the sick people that are looking forward to it.
Before I ask you about Dan Brown, Bears tight end joining us here on Bears All Access, before I ask you about what you've heard about this rivalry so far, I want to go back to your days in Baltimore. Last year you spent the wide receiver room with Steve Smith.
Yeah.
What's that like? Is he as loud as he is on the field as he is in the meeting rooms?
He is. It's a life-changing experience. Yeah. The guy likes – he walks into the meeting room and he – demanded that there always be candy, sunflower seeds, coffee, or I don't even remember what the other one was. And I remember it was a rookie's job, and he asked once, and next day nobody brought candy.
Ooh.
The next day he said, he looked directly at us.
Keep it clean.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get into it. He just basically said that if there's no candy in here tomorrow, he said you better hope you're not on the field with me. And if you have a question, he's like, I'm gonna turn and look the other way. And he's and you're not going to get any help from me. He's like, if I ask you to do something, you're going to do something for me. So I went out as soon as I left the meeting room, I bought $55 in candy, and I brought it back to him. I made sure
nice.
He saw me.
Points.
I made sure he saw me do it.
Points.
So.
Hey, I like what Steve Smith brings to the career, to the profession,
yeah.
Because you need guys on the team that are that committed.
Yep.
To their preparation, whether it's the candy they want or the way they play on the field. I think it's a good example for you to learn from.
No doubt. Yeah. No, he's one of my favorite people. Obviously, if you're on his bad side, he's not one of your favorite people. But I think, he liked me. He gave, called me white chocolate. He liked.
Saw the $55 worth of candy.
Yeah. But I being around Steve, a rookie year, does a lot for you, shows you. What you have to do to make a 17-year career, like him,
yeah,
amazing.
Come back from an injury like he's had, as old as he is. It's good to be around a guy like that your first year.
But does it surprise you his stature? I mean, his size compared to yours.
Yeah.
Going, wow, this guy, 17 years,
right. And you beat him up, right?
You got to dwarf him.
They did this thing who two guys you wouldn't want to meet in the alley, in Baltimore, and the two guys were Steve Smith and Marshall Yanda, and
really,
I think most people would pick Steve.
Got about a half minute left here. What have you heard about Bears Packers? What do you expect on Sunday?
I heard it's one of the oldest rivalries in football.
It is the.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to being a part of it. Hopefully, I can make my stamp on the rivalry. Hopefully we pull away with the victory this week.
Go out there, do some damage in shirt sleeves. Okay. Well, I'll check with you on that practice
tomorrow.
After you get the test tomorrow.
Spike, we want a side end zone dance, something out of you.
I'll give you something.
Yeah, a little repeat from that Tennessee game. We wouldn't mind seeing that. Dan Brown, thanks for joining us here. Welcome to Chicago. Continued success. Keep those numbers going out there.
Thank you.
All right, and we'll all be watching Sunday against the Green Bay Packers. That's a wrap for this edition of Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber from the PNC Studio at Hallis Hall. For Tom Thayer and for Bears tight end Dan Brown, I'm Chris Bowden. Thanks for joining us here on 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on chicagobears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and Verizon.